Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Habit is a wonderful thing in some cases and terrible in others. If you weren't here this morning, you don't know that I gave the children's talk at the wrong time. They were supposed to do the lighting of the Advent candle before I did that, but it worked, I guess. That's habit. One of the commentaries I read this week had a line which really struck me this year especially. Dr. Lamar Williamson, Jr., who taught at Presbyterian School of Christian Education up in Richmond for a number of years, they also had a seminary there called Union Seminary, wrote this, Mark 13 speaks to those of us who expect too much and those who expect too little. It is especially important for those who have forgotten to expect anything at all. How about you? What's your expectation this year, 2020? Began with lots of excitement as we started a new decade, or ignoring the purist who would tell us that the new decade really starts in 2021. But considering the last year, I might be willing to join them this time around and say, yeah, let's start a new decade next year. After we had that expectation and hope at the start, came COVID. And originally they said, well, it's just another virus. Dr. Fauci, in fact, said, it's pretty much going to be like the flu. That changed very quickly as we learned more about it. And we had to learn all these new concepts this year. Stay at home, essential services, non-essential services, layoffs and furloughs, telemedicine, social distancing, isolation, hand sanitizers, masks. Masks. They do not help. No, wait, they do help protect others. Oh, wait, no. Well, maybe they help protect you too. No, absolutely, they're mandatory. You have to wear them all the time. And I do try to wear my mask. I even, after some instruction from my wife, wear it in when I come in the morning, on Sunday morning. I noticed this morning the one that I had on made me look a lot like a comic book character out of one of those superhero things, except I was the bad guy from the look of that mask when I had it on. But that mask actually is nice because I can still see out of my glasses with that one. Some of them, I can't see anything. And who can forget the TP shortage this year? An old friend of mine moved into his new call the first week we had no services. He arrived, texted the council president, told him it was there okay. The council president texted back, said, is everything going all right? Is there anything you need that you can help you with? And he texted back, yeah, can you tell me where I can find toilet paper? And that was his first exchange with his new council president. And for some strange reason, when he went in the office, he found a dozen rolls sitting on his desk. So he was very thankful. And that was his first day in a new call. Hadn't met anyone other than the brief meeting before beginning his call and talking to the council and the call committee. It's been a different sort of year. Lots of challenges. One of the worst things, I think, for lots of people, and if you read the effects of the last year and how many deaths were caused by different things, not the virus, you realize that social isolation has been one of the hardest things we've experienced in the last year. Not being able to visit people in hospitals or nursing homes. Weddings were postponed or else they were limited to a tiny little group. Funerals usually were delayed, or maybe there was an outdoor event of some kind, with expectation that somewhere down the road there'll be a celebration of life for those people. Those struggling with addictions and mental illness were cut off from support systems, leading to a rise in suicides and overdose deaths. For many people, I think, especially those of us here and those of you at home, the closing of houses of worship may have felt a lot like that temple destruction we read about in the New Testament. If we'd read the first part of that chapter that we read today for the gospel, we would have seen the impact of that on those early Christians. The buildings, in our case, remained intact, but the fellowship, the rituals, the rhythms, the patterns, the music that's so important in our life and worship, all those things have been altered dramatically. In a matter of days, at the beginning, faith leaders and communities had to exchange physical facilities for virtual sanctuaries. And at least for me, and I think lots of others, was something we had no idea about and how it would work. Across all sorts of faith traditions, people had to reimagine worship and reimagine service without a physical space to bind them to one another. And we expected it to be a few weeks. We had even talked about how we were going to celebrate Easter, whatever day we celebrated Easter. And now I'm just hoping that we'll be able to celebrate Easter next year. I hope. And all those things were demolished in just an instant. Normalcy, comfort, security, all those things that made our lives feel like we had some control. And over the summer, we had the ugliness of violence and riots, which added to the destruction and the economic suffering, followed by a really crazy political season that seems to be lingering onward. Now we have the flu, and they say we're in the midst of a second or third surge, depending on who talks about it. And it was expected, perhaps. I think the experts, and we certainly hope they would be wrong, that these respiratory things seem to get worse in the winter months. So it was not totally unexpected. So it seems to me that our scripture readings today are especially important and relevant. Jesus warned his disciples in the first part of chapter 13 that there would be lots of terrible things happening. There would be people who told them that the end was near. But he said it's not. When the temple fell, they were sure that was the end, that Jesus would be there. But that was not the end. And Jesus warned them and told them that no one knows except the Father. And so those early Christians in the church to which Mark wrote witnessed the Roman-Jewish war and the destruction of the temple. And they thought, they hoped that he would come right away. But it didn't happen. And the part we read today is the part that applies so clearly to us as it applied to those disciples. The temple fell. Their life was destroyed and disrupted by the war. But Jesus' message was still the same. Remember the homeowner who left his home and left his workers in charge and told them to always be ready, because you never knew when the homeowner would return. All the losses they faced, but the promise remained. All the challenges we face this year, but the promise remains and is unchanged. And that psalm that we had today is a psalm of lament. And that passage from Isaiah is a passage of lament. People crying out to God, come, come. And how many of us would say with them, come, Lord Jesus. Come. Restore things to the way we expected them to be. To the way we want them to be. Like the people in Isaiah's story, the people in the Israel of the Psalm are crying out. And those early Christians cried out. Paul wrote to Corinth and reminded them of their strengths and reminded them that Jesus was coming. No one knew when, but not to give up, not to despair, not to fail to stay busy with the work of the kingdom. The children of Israel cried to God in distress. We cry to God in our own day, in our own distress, in the midst of divisions and illness and suffering and fear. We nevertheless cry out to God to come, Lord Jesus. Advent is a time of preparation. Advent is a time to wait expectantly, to look forward to Christ's return. Not just the Christ in the creche. We celebrate Christmas Eve. Not just the Christ when we gather together for Holy Communion. And surely that's one of the things for many people that they've missed the most, is the opportunity to gather regularly and share in the Lord's Supper. But we wait expectantly for the day when things change. It's not a normal year. It's not a normal Advent. But what is normal? Ask the children of Israel. When their temple was destroyed, and Isaiah pleaded with God not to forget them and to come back. Ask the early Christians, the Jews in Jerusalem, in the midst of that war when the temple was destroyed and the hill was salted so nothing could even grow there. They pleaded for God to come down. And we do. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Come down, show up, do something like God used to do for the children of Israel in Egypt or on Mount Sinai. We want to see that. But Jesus says, God will come, but no one knows when. The real surprise of Advent was that that baby born that night would become the man who hung on the cross and died to save us. Mark even uses that in his account when Jesus is telling the people to be ready. Be ready in the evening. When Jesus gathered his disciples for the Last Supper. Be ready at midnight when Jesus was arrested. Be ready at cockcrow when Peter denied even knowing Jesus. Be ready at dawn when Jesus was sentenced to die. Tear the world asunder. Mark uses that word twice. Once at Jesus' baptism, when the heavens were torn asunder and the dove descended. And again, when Jesus stretched his arms on the cross and died, and the temple curtain was torn asunder and divided. Mark wants us to remember that the coming of Jesus would end with the cross. And that in that ending, the promise continued that he would return. The heart of the Christmas story is not just the baby. It's also the cross. The heart of the Christmas story is not just about poor, frightened parents. But it's about shepherds who came to worship the baby. It's about foreign kings who came to worship the baby. But not the kingly baby they expected. Because life is filled with unexpected events. And surely this past year was unexpected in so many ways. The disciples never expected Jesus would die. But the promise was always there. That's why he came. How we experience Christmas and how we see our lives needs to be guided by this understanding of God's presence and redemption and promise. Advent means watching and waiting and being prepared as those servants were. It means living our lives as if the King may come at any moment, in however many small ways we may help, whether with an angel tree, whether with the blessing box, or helping homeless shelters, or reaching out to one another when times are hard and people need to hear a friendly voice. Know that people haven't been forgotten, that they're still cared about. That parable at the end is a reminder that God is whispering to us in the child and in the words of Scripture, I am with you. And what are we to do? Be ready. Stay awake and alert. Jesus will return. Work with what time we have. However much the world has changed, Jesus has not. Our baptismal calling has not changed, even though we can't gather as we would like in our church. We can't sing as we would like in a community, but we can sing in our hearts. We can sing when we're alone and when we're with our families. And we can certainly reach out with the good news. Witness to Christ's love revealed in the coming and in the cross, and serve Him as we serve our neighbor, even in this changing day and harsh times. The love of God is unending, and we're called to show that love in all that we do. Wait, but stay alert. And stay active and stay busy working for the kingdom. Amen.